100%, but it could help minimize that. The second reason is to prevent the losses that go along with the transient infections, because when we have abortions, we have these health risks. And Tom did a good job of describing those vague things that happen in herds where BVD is present. So you could, in theory, say, all right, we've eliminated BVD from our herd. We don't have this challenge of exposure. We don't need to vaccinate anymore. And in fact, a number of European countries have essentially taken that approach. We'll use BVD serology as a way of knowing whether a herd's exposed or not. Nobody's vaccinated, but we get titers to BVD. We can measure antibodies to BVD. That means it was because wild virus was circulating in that herd. We don't take that approach in the United States because there is the risk of that reintroduction. And so we still want to maintain some protection of the herd, even though we don't believe BVD virus is circulating currently. We know it's at any time, just like Tom's experience, it could be introduced, and we want to have that cow herd protected with the vaccine so we don't have these dramatic losses from the transient infections. So it's a little bit of a difference in strategy, but of course here we would say we'll deal with the challenge of diagnosing BVD in the herd in turn for having the herd protected with the vaccine.
The first question concerning the Sand Hills trial is, when so much of us in the West are determining our production on utilization of our forages, that was an intensive grazing system where they were moved, I think you said, every couple days. In that case, when you moved the ones that hadn't calved and you left the ones there, what feed did they have left? Or were they moved later again? That was my first question.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'll clarify a little bit. I gave you a herd history from a herd that was intensively grazed. And then I talked a little bit about how we implement the Sandhills calving system. So now you have to separate these two things. So let me talk about the general thing first. So in a more traditional ranch setting where you're turning cows out in, maybe you're calving earlier in the spring. We're talking about utilizing these various calving pastures and I didn't tell you that after the calves are about 4 weeks of age, we say you can start bringing these groups back together again. For a lot of our ranches, at least in Nebraska, that's about the time you're going to be turning those cows out into grass in the summertime. Okay, so I described the system for a more traditional setting, not the intensive grazing system. The intensive grazing herd, who is also utilizing this system, all right, so they're moving their herd through all of these pastures, and what we've asked them to do now is start to make lots of little groups that are moving through all those pastures. It's a little more complicated, and we've compromised a little bit. We've tried to breed as tight as you can, so we use less groups than we say every 10 days. So we stretch out that time period a little bit more. And again, so as they're moving through, they keep breaking off into more and more groups. All of those groups that have to move through the pasture. So it's more complicated for intensive grazing herds to implement the system. Not so difficult, really, for the more traditional ranch systems that we work with.
And eventually, they're all together again.
Once the youngest calf is 4 weeks old, we say they're not at risk for scours anymore, and so you can start to put them back together again, if that helps with your handling cattle.
And then on the BVD, I still get confused between determining PI calves and vaccinating your herd. You determine you don't have any PI calves. Is it possible to still have a PI cow that's still in your herd without testing your whole herd, or is that, what do you do in that case?
your question, as I understand it, is trying to separate out vaccination versus biosecurity and keeping the virus off the farm. And the situation there, if you test all of the calves on the farm and you test all of the animals that have not given birth to a calf on the farm, that would be your bulls and your replacement heifers. Mm-hmm. If you test all of the calves and all of the animals that have not given birth to a calf and you have no PI animals in that testing, then you do not have persistently infected animals on the farm. So here's the challenge. If I, as a professional, were to tell you, you know, you did a great job. You did a great job testing. You don't have BVD on your farm, so let's not vaccinate. And then that'd be easy to prove to all of your neighbors that you don't have BVD. The problem is, if you have a neighbor who does buy persistently infected animal, that strain of BVD can go through your herd and cause significant transient infections and disease and even death associated with that transient infection. I do believe in the principle that if we don't learn history, we're destined to repeat it. And back in 1995, 96, there were some very virulent strains of BVD that went through herds that weren't vaccinated and caused up to a 40% death loss of animals due to acute infection. So even if you do a good job testing and don't have BVD on your farm, I do encourage you to buy the insurance that you gain with vaccination to prevent further disease.
Okay, then when you are vaccinating, you spoke of the time period is before breeding. If that is not possible, if they're on the range and they're back and they're gathered and branded where there are no facilities, is it possible to have a vaccination program for BVD? Or at what time? And what would you use? A modified live?
I'm going to answer this question, then I'm going to let Dave clarify my answer. So your question, as I understand it, is you effectively understand that the best time to vaccinate is before breeding, because we want to optimize our immunity so that we protect that fetus during the first 5 months of gestation. You understand that principle, but say, with the management practices on my farm, I just can't do that. So if I can't do that, when's the next best time to vaccinate? Is that your question?
Yes.
With the parameters set forth on that question, you end up having to say, okay, what can we do? What will work with management practices? And on some farms, they've seen that it works acceptably well to make sure that heifers are well vaccinated. That's the most critical point on the farm to point out to you. Make sure those heifers get at least one dose of modified live vaccine. I would even encourage you to do two doses of modified live vaccines on the heifers. If you do that, at this point in time, we now have at least two modified live vaccines that are approved for administration to pregnant cows if they were given the exact same vaccine within a 12-month period of time, 12 months previously. So, and I'll be honest to you, you've already set up the parameters of the question. That's not the optimal way to do it as far as protection against BVD, but that might optimize production on your farm, so you therefore might administer vaccine to pregnant animals so that you can ensure protection, but you're not going to have the greatest immunity during the first 5 months of gestation. I apologize for the complexity of that answer. Dave, do you want to tell her anything I said was wrong? Go ahead.
No, I think you said it right. So
if you're calving in the spring, but you're not able to vaccinate your cattle, the first time you can vaccinate your cattle is October when they're gathered, or when you ship and wean or test. If they're calving in, say they're not calving till June, July, and August, they're not getting bred till from July on, if you vaccinate in October, you're going to miss, maybe on the earliest ones, a couple months of protection, but maybe on the majority you'd get within the 5 months.
Yeah, but you end up, so our best recommendations would be to vaccinate prior to that breeding season. You're saying that's not possible, so the next best time to do it is when you can get your cattle in to vaccinate them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what, you know, Dan's essentially saying is that, all right, vaccinate then, but at least if there's any possibility of getting two pre-breeding vaccinations into the heifers,
then you can use the modified live.
And then at least you're boostering the cow herd over. Not the best time of the year to do it, but at least you're getting some boosted protection. So that's a second best vaccine program given what can be done.
Okay, thank you.
I think if you vaccinate those cows in the fall and they've never had a modified live, you're at high risk for some abortions in them. That would be my understanding, the way I understand it.
Yeah, so we skirted that issue, and we probably shouldn't have. You know, it's very important that you follow the label directions for the vaccine. There are some vaccines that have a label now that say, so we're talking about modified live virus vaccines. Modified live virus vaccines can cause abortions in pregnant cows. You're talking about giving a vaccine to pregnant cows. And the only way we get around using modified live vaccines that way is if there has been a dose given in the previous 12 months. So it can happen, but you got to be real careful about how that's happened. There are also killed virus vaccines that are very safe and useful for giving pregnant cows when you can't meet those criteria for the modified live vaccines.
Current thought is killed vaccines, which are more safe, will provide less protection than modified lives.
When you've talked about whole herd test or trying to make sure there's no PIs in your herd, you've emphasized test every calf, the open heifers, and the bulls. I guess no one has really mentioned that cow that had a dead calf that you didn't ship. Was that just an oversight? Or I guess I would worry about those, even though they're mature and they're probably not PIs, they still could be that source of a problem.
And you said very well, the way I like to say that, test every calf on the farm, and then test every cow that did not give birth to a calf that you tested. So we got to test those calves that had a dead calf. We've got to test those cows that didn't have any calves at all. We've got to test every calf, and then we have to test every animal on the farm that did not give birth to a calf that was tested.
I'll say the same thing Dan said, but just a different way. So when I'm explaining it to producers, I say, I want information on every animal on the ranch. However, I'm able to get information on cows that, if we test the calf, I'm able to get information about the cow from that. But if that cow lost her calf, didn't have a calf for whatever reason, then we've got to go to the cow to get that information. Otherwise, we got the information from the calf. And of course, if that calf was positive, we still have to go back to the cow.
I really don't have a question. I live in southeast Wyoming there, and we have run a closed herd since the 1950s. My eldest son took his prize heifer to the fair about 25 years ago and brought it home from there on a water source. And we've been through the killed virus vaccine, which is kind of more or less ineffective, and we finally got into the live virus. But the only real problem we have now is on summer or two-year-old heifers. We'll have a full-term dead calf, maybe about 5 or 6%, and we do go through a live virus vaccination.
Let me make sure I understand your comment there. You are administering that live virus vaccine to pregnant heifers, is what you're saying. Is that correct?
No.
Before they're pregnant.
There is
So from your story, so you're still saying that you still got it. And so that's the message that I think is very well worth repeating. If your total control program for BVD virus is solely vaccination, you can maintain the virus in your herd. And we've looked at ranches where we can show that the breeding pastures where there were PIs present, even in the face of vaccination, we still generated PIs the next year. So when we're thinking about BVD control, it's not just solely about testing. It's not just solely about vaccination. It's not just solely about movement of cattle. It's all of those things, and you've got to have all of those things as part of your plan, or you're letting something leak.
Yes, you mentioned about rental calving tubs and alleys and things like that, and dehorners and tagging pliers and such. What would be the timeline on that virus living on such instruments?
Fortunately, live well in the environment to give you an adequate time range for that virus to die. I normally like to say 5 weeks, so 4 to 5 weeks, and you can decrease that to 3 weeks. In the southeast, where we tend to be pretty warm and hot, 3 weeks normally is plenty of time for the virus to die. It does not live for long periods of time without infecting an animal. So the outside longest window that you can say I have 100% confidence the virus will die on that type of equipment would be a 5 week period of time. It's going to be gone.
I'm Mike Amos. I work for Pfizer Animal Health, and I wanted to clarify some things with regards to the use of modified lives in pregnant cows and give you our current recommendation. And the one thing we want to emphasize, if you're going to use a modified live in a pregnant cow, you have to give the pre-breeding shot. If you don't, you're going to have problems. So our current recommendation, and it's on all of our advertising, is that we get 2 doses of that modified live with the second dose coming pre-breeding. And then you shouldn't have any problems. We have millions of doses that have been administered to pregnant cows and verifies its safety. So we want to reemphasize that. Some people, when we first got the pregnant cow claim for BovaShield Gold, considered pre-breeding to be that time when she at weaning time. Well, that is pre-breeding, but it's the 30 to 60 days prior to breeding, which we would typically call pre-breeding. The second point of clarification is there is actually only one vaccine that is approved for use within 12 months thereafter. There are 2 vaccines that are approved for modified lives that are approved for use in pregnant cows, but only one that can be used within 12 months thereafter because it's been demonstrated to have the safety and et cetera, haven't been given within 12 months thereafter. So that's another point of clarity. I do have a question with regards to Dr. Gibbons. If you could give us an update on the current thinking on persistent testicular infection and whether that potentially has a role and what someone purchasing bulls, whether they should be doing any different testing if they've got any questions in that regard.
Great question. Let me ask one clarifying question on one thing to make sure I understand it. That you talked about that 12-month period, and I want to make sure that I'm clear on that. There's only one vaccine, and that's the BovaShield product, that can be given. Explain that 12-month period, because I'm just not sure I'm clear on that.
We have it specifically on the label. If the initial vaccines have been given pre-breeding, you can administer it to a pregnant cow. Typically the time when people want to do it is at preg check time in that October time frame. As long as you've given that pre-breeding shot, within 12 months of wanting to give it at preg check time, you're okay. It's the only vaccine that has that specific labeling on it. The other product that's approved for use in pregnant cows is only approved for use pre-breeding, period. What a lot of people will do is evolve. They'll use it pre-breeding in their heifers because they can do that. And then with time, you know, this is going to take quite a time, and you really have to be very vigilant about identification. But if you've got your cow, your heifers marked by the year that they were born or whatever, it can be managed. But the other alternative is to use a product like Cattlemaster Gold, which is has a killed BVD, which is approved for use in pregnant cows regardless. There's no requirement. And that does have a persistent infection point. If you want to use a modified live in your cows, you have to give the first shot pre-breeding. Within 12 months, then you can go. But so if you kind of have to bite the bullet, and if you want to do it in your cows, you have to give a pre-breeding shot, either as a heifer or as a cow at some point.